Well, let me send my greetings to you all from hopefully sunny Hawaii at this time. Susie and I are so thankful that this church generously gave for our 20th anniversary here, gave us a great amount of money that enabled us to go to Hawaii and have that wonderful experience. And we're just thankful to be in this church. But I did want to have something to say today because we're continuing this series on letting go and taking up. And, you know, two weeks back, we were talking about us personally picking things up. And last week, I talked about our church letting go. You know, Solomon says there's a season for everything in the world. And our season has come where we have to look very carefully as a church family of what are we to pick up and what are we to let go. Last week I did talk about the church picking up. Last week I talked about the need for us to pick up the Great Commission as our great calling, that what gives our church family focus and direction in our ministries is the Great Commission, the commission where Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and we're to go into all nations and make them disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe everything that Christ commanded." That is our marching order. That is what God has given to us as to what we're to be about as a church family. And everything needs to be measured against that. If we have ministries that aren't helping us fulfill the Great Commission, then those are things we need to let go of. But we also have things we need to pick up, because we, as we analyze our ministries, we have to say, well, what are those things we need to perhaps start doing, or things that we are doing we need to tweak and change somewhat, so that they enable us to fulfill the Great Commission. We know we've had a lot of programs in this church, and there are a lot of programs offered by people working in churches. And this church has tried a lot of them. I mentioned a few of them last week. Not all of them have worked. Some of them worked at a particular time, a decade or so, in a particular culture we had back then, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But we're in a different culture now, and some things that worked back then don't work now. Some of the things we tried never worked, and we just had to let them go. And some things that we've tried and are still doing today are effective, but again, we have to look at them to say, are these things effective enough in helping us fulfill the Great Commission? Whatever ministries that we choose to use in fulfilling this Great Commission, one thing is certain: that they need to have a big view. They need to have a strategic view, if you will. They need to fit together in some kind of system that works overall. I've been reading a fascinating book called Simple Church. And in Simple Church, the thesis is this: that churches are too crowded with ministries, trying to do too much, accomplish too much, and therefore not getting it done in terms of fulfilling the Great Commission. And so the authors say, you know what? A church needs to be simple in its programming. And they define a simple church like this: a simple church is a congregation designed around a straightforward and strategic process that moves people through stages of spiritual growth. Let me say that again. A simple church is a congregation designed around a straightforward and strategic process that moves people through the stages of spiritual growth. Let's take just a minute and break that down into its component parts. It is a straightforward process, which simply means it's easy to state and it's easy to understand. It's not too complex. It can be stated perhaps in one sentence or just a few sentences. And it helps us understand that there is a process that is something that can be communicated and understood by every member of the congregation. It's also strategic in that it does see the big picture, and it connects all ministries together into a whole, into a package, so to speak, where one ministry leads into another ministry to accomplish the goal of making disciples. It is a process. Now, the process needs to be taking people who are unchurched and don't know Jesus on the one hand, and moving them forward through a stages of growth to become a maturing disciple on the other side. It's to change the metaphor we've been using from a flower to a factory. You think about a factory having on the one end all the different parts coming in, all the different aspects of what that car is going to be. It has tires and steering wheels and engines and all the other parts. They come in one end of the factory. And then it goes through an assembly line process where these pieces are put together in a straightforward process. And at the other end, you have a car that rolls off the assembly line. That is a process that is designed by somebody, and it helps take a bunch of parts and creates an automobile. A simple church is a church that has a process for making disciples, of taking people who don't know Jesus, taking people who are not a part of a local church, and it moves them through a series of stages that helps produce a growing disciple. And it's the stages thing, which is the last part of the definition. There are stages to spiritual growth. In other words, you have to start somewhere and then you move somewhere. You take people from here to there. The here for people is being unchurched, not knowing Jesus Christ. We have to have those ministries in place that help lead people to Jesus Christ and lead people into his church. And then you take a brand new Christian and you start teaching them various things about the Bible, about Christ himself and what he taught, and how we obey what he taught, so that we take seriously the commands of Jesus Christ. As people grow, then we can move them on to new levels of even leadership, where they are not just a growing disciple, but they're also an emerging leader. And those people take responsibility for ministries in our church. So it's a process of stages. And people don't start all in one place. And so we have to have openings for people wherever they come into our church family, wherever they are when they come. We have a place for them that will take them where they are and move them forward in the stages of spiritual growth. Now, the challenge before us at Santa Clara First Baptist is to evaluate our ministries and to see what ministries really aren't doing the job and will never do the job. Those ministries need to be pruned away. Other ministries are kind of doing the job, but they need tweaking. They need more analysis and thought and prayer, and changes that need to be made in those ministries will provide fruit when those changes come about. And then it's going to be perhaps instituting brand new ministries we haven't yet have in place, and they will also contribute to the process of making disciples. Now, all this started at our leadership retreat back in the first weekend in January, and a number of our church people came together for this retreat to begin to think about what is it that God has called us to do. What is the Great Commission that we're to be fulfilling? And we started thinking about it and praying about it. And I really believe God was a part of that weekend. It touched a lot of us very strongly. And we had some people who shared along the way some powerful thoughts and some powerful feelings. And I want to take the rest of our message time today to have three of them share. Denise Stevens is going to share, Greg Robbins, and Sharon Sintas. All three were a part of that weekend. All three had some great input. And all three have a message that they would like to give to all of us concerning what are our next steps and what did we learn from that weekend experience. Again, Susie and I want to thank you for your generosity. I will be with you next week as we start a brand new sermon series having to do with what does it mean to be a disciple. God bless you all.
Good morning. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. I secretly really wanted to do that just once. So, as Pastor Rich said, my name is Greg Robbins, and I am a member here at Santa Clara. And I was invited to speak today to share a little bit about the leadership retreat and the experiences and the feelings that I had while I was there. But before we begin, I just want to clarify a few things. One, I am your typical lay person. I have no special training in speaking from this pulpit. I've never been to seminary. But what I speak about and what I'm going to share is something that came from my heart. And I truly believe that the Holy Spirit was involved. And and then secondly, I also want you to know that I stand up here not for my own recognition or for my own glory, but to give praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That this is about Him, and the experiences that you're going to hear is about how you may experience. I hope that you can learn from this and that you can feel this same experience. So I just want to get that out of the way. So it started off about 2 weeks before the leadership retreat. Pastor Rich called me, and it was a personal phone call at home, and I was quite surprised. He said that they had been trying to get a hold of me via email to come to the retreat, and I said, well, you're using an old email address. It doesn't work. And he asked me, he said, Greg, I really want you to be at this retreat. And I hadn't been to one in quite a while. I used to be on the deacon board. I stepped down to be with my family as we were starting to raise a family. And it was something very interesting that I said, well, okay, I'll think about this, but I need to make sure that I have coverage for the family, that I have work is okay, and I can get away from work for a while. And prayed about it, talked about it, made the arrangements, and the couple days before the retreat, I called Rich and said, I'm in. Let's go. So the retreat starts on Friday night. I'm stressing because I got to get out of work. It's a busy weekend, first weekend in January. And I get up there late, and the first session has already started. And I kind of step in, and it's more of a team building. It's talking about the characteristics of the individuals that are there. You know, are you an advisor type person? Are you a nurturing? You know, just kind of putting together the team and letting everyone introduce themselves and get to know each other so when we move forward in the weekend, we know kind of where we're at. But I come in on the tail end of that. And then Rich steps up, and after that part's done, and he starts talking about this is a football and what his point and message was revolving around that. And it was, he started talking about the Great Commission and what that's going to look like and what does that look like for our church. And he gave us a homework assignment. It's a retreat, first night, and he's giving us a homework assignment. So, and it's talking about the five verses that you can find in the book or in the Bible about the Great Commission. And say, this sounds really cool. Now I'm kind of getting excited. This sounds great. So go do the homework assignment. Some people stay up and afterwards, and it's just the beginning of a regular retreat. So the next morning starts, and we review the homework assignment. And we really start getting into it. We start talking about the characteristics of a disciple and what that looks like. We talk about what would that look like in our lives today if we had those characteristics? And what would that be? Well, how would we react to people and how would we interact with people? And I knew this is what exactly what I wanted. I said, this is great. My juices were flowing. I was into this conversation. People were talking. There was great spirited conversation talking about the different characteristics of what a disciple or discipleship would look like. There were some that really loved. I mean, it was spirit-led. Desire to learn more. Committed to Christ. A follower. That they have the fruit of the Spirit. That they're Bible-centered. And that they're imitator of Christ. And we made a list of like 20-plus things. And the conversations that were going and talking about this and bringing them, and we're writing them on the board. Tim was our pen guy, and he was up there writing them on the board. And every time someone put something up, there was a discussion that was just really spirited. And I thought, oh, let's keep going. But then it was time for a break. Okay. So we come back from the break, and we start talking about discipleship and what it would look like in our church and in the different programs of our church and what it would take for our church to make disciples. And again, we had some really awesome, spirited conversations linking them to the different departments within our church, the magnification department, the membership, the missions, the ministry. How would each of these departments really benefit and grow if we incorporated these things into them? And the conversations were going. It was awesome. And then we had another break. And this is where things get a little bit interesting. So we come back from the long break. This is the afternoon break where we have free time. and we now we started talking about goals. And I was like, okay, goals. With an emphasis of incorporating goals for these different departments, but involving discipleship in them. Okay, that sounds doable. We can do that. And so people break up into groups, and we start putting our heads together and writing down for the different departments within our church different goals, and we're trying to be creative. And Sharon was in my group and talking about what we could do to incorporate discipleship. I think we had missions. Yeah, we had missions. And then we get back together as a large group, and we start writing these goals out. Goals are being written. And I'm getting a sinking feeling in my stomach. I'm getting a little frustrated. Because the goals that are being set, and I want to clarify something, we have an awesome leadership team in this church. Our deacon board does a lot of work. And I found out later that they were instructed to bring goals up, but that wasn't shared with us at the time, or maybe I didn't hear it quite clearly. So they were bringing goals up, but I'm looking at it, where is the discipleship in these goals? How does making disciples fit into these goals? And the meeting's still going on, and I turn to one of my group people, Sharon, and I go, Sharon, something's not right here. Something doesn't fit. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, these are goals, yeah, but these are the same goals when I was on the deacon board. These are things that I've seen on the board before 8 years ago. Where's the discipleship? Where is it? And thank you, Sharon, because with her nudge, she said, Greg, you need to say something. You need to say something, because they need to hear it, not from a staff person, not from a deacon member, but they need to hear it from somebody from the church. No. So I pray, and the meeting's going on, and I'm praying some more, and I look at Sharon. And so as the session was wrapping up, I don't know where it was going to go after, but I raised my hand. Pastor Rich, what does this mean? What do these goals mean? Where is the discipleship? What does this mean? And I can tell you, people, that the meeting went 180 degrees. We stopped looking at what the goals were, and we started talking about our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit was present during this conversation. It went back to Christ. The conversation wasn't about what goals we needed to place or how we were going to achieve these goals, but to how much more important it is for it to change our lives to win lives for Christ. To change our lives to win lives for Christ. Again, the Holy Spirit was present, and it was awesome. Feelings, emotions, fears, struggles, and the overall conversation felt so right. This is what we needed to be focusing on as leaders. The goals will be there. They'll always be there. What are we doing? So I guess the reason I'm here today is to raise my hand for you. What are we doing? I'm going to change gears real quick here. Okay, no one has any stones or rocks. I work in the financial industry. I work for a Wells Fargo bank. And I know banks have a real bad rap right now. But I pride myself, I've been with them for 22 years. I see my branch as a local branch, not a big corporate branch, but I care about my customers, I care about my clients, I care about the people that I deal with and work with. And I have worked with a man whose name was Surab Kaharav. try to call that in a meeting. He likes to go by Jack. He makes it a lot easier for us. He's from, oh, I can't even say the name. It's Ooks. Oh, I'm going to mess it up. Never mind. I'll come back to it. Anyways, Jack was always reminding me of us. He would always tell me when we were in meetings or doing some coaching with other team members, good is the enemy of great. And after he kept saying it, I wanted to go look that up, and I did. And it came from a book by Jim Collins, who writes business books, business success books. And the name of the book is Good to Great and Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. And in that book, the opening paragraph says, good is the enemy of great. And that is one of the reasons that we have so little that becomes great. We don't have great schools principally because we have good schools. We don't have great government principally because we have good government. Few people attain great lives precisely because it is easy to settle for a good life. The vast majority of companies never become great precisely because they become quite good, and that is their main problem. Are we a good church? Have we settled for good? Have we come to a place of worship for our Lord and Savior for just goodness? I'm not saying that we have a bad church, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that we have bad lives. I wonder from the Great Commission if, you know, when Jesus tells them to go, the disciples weren't instructed to, you know, if you want to go out, if you want in your spare time, if you have the energy, I know you're busy, I know you got a lot of things on your plate, I know you got to collect taxes and go fish and you got to bake some bread and you got to do other things, but, you know, when you have time, if you want to go out and talk about me, that would be great. No. That's not what he said. He said in Matthew 28:16-20, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is not a passive command. This is not when you feel like it. This is not when you have time. He's telling you to go. Get up and move. And when you think you're done moving, you have to keep moving. And once you do preach about me, keep teaching about me. And when you think you're done, find someone else. Go somewhere else. It's not when we feel like it. It has to be every day. You know, the leadership retreat to me was a microcosm of our church family. How easily we get caught up in doing what we think is the right thing to do when sometimes we already know what it is, but we don't do it. We knew at the retreat that what we needed to do, but we kept just kind of, okay, let's put the goals up, let's do this. We're just kind of going, no, stop, raise your hand. What are you doing? I want to say again that we have a good church. We have a lot of good things. I would even say we have a few great things. I look at Bethlehem as a great thing, and it has nothing to do with numbers. It has nothing to do with how many people work on it, how many people come and attend it. You know what's great about it? Is that we're sharing the story of our God. It's about taking a message and sending it out to the community. That's great. I get a little scared, though, because after it's done, we take it down, then what do? How are we reaching out to the community after that's taken down? Where are you? What are we doing? Well, all I can say is that it has to start with us. We have to be the beginning. There's certainly a lot that can be done through our church, but it's what we do with our lives. And so again, I'm going to raise my hand for you. What are you doing? What are we doing as a church? I'm tempted. I don't know how much kickback I'll get by this. I opened it up with God is good all the time God is good. But if good is the enemy of great, and we want to be great, it's the Great Commission, it's not the Good Commission. God is great. All the time. God is great. So why can't we be great for God? And that's all I have to say. I want to thank you for allowing me to come up here. And that's how the leadership retreat for me resonated. Thank you.
Stevens, and I am your vice chairperson for the church diaconate. And I want to share with you my life's theme verse and tell you about what God has been showing me as we began planning for 2012 in our church. My life's theme verses are from God's words to the Jewish people when they were taken from Israel to Babylon. They're recorded in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Those words reinforce for me that God has a plan for me and a plan for our church. As Pastor Rich and Barbara Chicks, who is our diaconate chairperson, and I began planning the Deacon's Yearly Retreat, we struggled with what God was trying to tell us about where we were going in the next year, in 2012. We were looking at, is it that God is talking about restrengthening our church or rebuilding our church? And we came to the feeling that God was telling us we needed to look at re-something with our church, but we weren't sure what that was. Then on Christmas Sunday, Liz Pouchet was baptized, and for me, I saw the message. I saw that that's what God is telling us that we need to be doing every Sunday, baptizing new believers and welcoming them into our church. That Christmas Sunday and then planning for the leadership retreat sent me back to this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Now, I read and studied this book three different times intensively, and just somehow I knew that the answers to what I was looking for were there. Really, the answers are in this book. They're in the scriptures. But I just needed Rick Warren to point them out to me again. On page 281, Warren makes the truth probably as easy to understand as he could, and he wrote these words. God is at work in the world, and he wants you to join him. God wants you to have both a ministry in the body of Christ and a mission in the world. Your ministry is your service to believers. Your mission is your service to unbelievers. Your life mission is both shared and specific. One part of it is a responsibility you share with every other Christian. And the other part is an assignment that is unique to you. What this says to me is that we growing disciples of Christ have a ministry to believers within our church body. One of my ministries at this place and time and in our church is to be the vice chairperson of the diaconate. But that is not enough. Through this leadership experience, I now see again that God expects me to be about his mission in the world also. That mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to unbelievers. That means introducing others to Jesus Christ. I have been praying about this. for weeks. And I am certain our church will not be what God wants it to be until we corporately and as individuals take on our mission to bring others to Christ. That would mean that every Sunday, every single Sunday, we are baptizing believers and we are welcoming them as new members into our church every Sunday and every week, that our mission is to reach others for Christ. Thank you.